Bonnie Johnny, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, along with the co-host, historian Joe Henbrick, longtime educator for Compton Unified and Linwood Unified, the first Black head football coach for Linwood Unified School District, the longtime studier of our history, our culture, and our spirituality from a standpoint of an Afrocentric perspective. And we welcome all of you that have tuned in. Tonight we're going to talk about Black August. And I don't know how many of you ever heard of Black August. We talked about it last year, I think. And it really is centered around the penitentiaries who started it from the standpoint of brothers in the joint to bring attention to their struggles in the penitentiary. And so from that standpoint, begin to expand it, to make it more expansive, to include historical events that happened in August. But the most important thing in this area was the Watts Rebellion that was in August and that they just had this past weekend. And it was not only a celebration, but a commemoration of the people that were arrested and those that were killed and hurt during the rebellion up there in the what they call the what the media call the riot area, or the uprising area from Rosecrans to Washington, and from Alameda to Crenshaw, but they still call it the Watts Rebellion. And a lot of things happened behind that. And we'll get into that. But I just wanted to go around and see how many people ever celebrated it or recognized Black August. And we'll start with Brother E. Have you ever heard of Black August?
Yes, I have. I've heard of Black August maybe around 4 to 5 years ago.
Okay. What do you know about it?
Well, pretty much I just know it's about the political prisoners that we have incarcerated. I believe it started in end of the 70s, maybe the early 80s, perhaps, I believe. I'm not too certain on the time frame with that. But it's about our political prisoners.
Some brothers in San Quentin. What about you, Mashinda? Mashinda?
Yeah. Yes, sir. You covered it pretty in depth last time. We talked about it last year. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I was introduced to that, just the terminology of Black August. For me, rebellions and the political prisoners and things like that, but as far as the commemoration and that type of thing, I'm familiar with a lot of different celebrations and commemorations, but that's not one that as far as a whole, as a collective name, Black August, you introduced me to that last August, when you talked about it. So
yeah.
Just kind of reflecting on back what you talked about, but you're going to expound on it a little more tonight?
Yes, of course. Brother Joe, you there? Brother Hembrick?
Yeah, I was just getting off mute. Mm. I'm about the same as the others. Last year was my first time hearing about it. Mm. Like I say, when the rebellion occurred, I was in junior high school, so... and my parents had left me out in Riverside for the summer while it was all going on. Mm-hmm. But after that, I would go to the festivals that they had after that. The ones like Will Rogers and then I guess the last one I attended was over there by that DWP building. I was off that on Slauson and something over there. They had it on one long street. That was about it. But I always followed it, but I never heard of Black August. But I do know about the rebellions. And in 92, I was watching that one.
Yeah.
Street or Centennial, watching all my kids over there doing this and that in there. That, what's that place right there on the corner now? Where the Gizzard Chicken place used to be. What is that now? Right there on El Segundo.
It's a 7-Eleven now.
No. Across the street.
The Chicken Shack.
No, the big place there. What is the big place there now? Rashi, you see it every day.
It's across the street from Centennial?
Cross corner.
Okay.
You're not talking about Mama Naka's, right?
No, the big place, the little store, the big store there.
Yeah, Smart and Final.
Smart and Final?
Final, that's it. Smart and Final. Yeah, I was sitting in the what's his name parking lot while the police make sure my kids didn't get no issues, and the police was standing there, wasn't even trying to arrest nobody, just let them do what they was doing. But last August was the first time I heard about it.
Okay, what about you, Rashi?
Yes, I'm pretty much just hearing about it. That's the beauty of the program. And right here, I got a background screen here, and it says Black August originated in the California penal system in the 1970s. Many significant events in the new African nation's struggle for justice and liberation have occurred in August. The commemoration of Black August particularly hails the advances and sacrifices of our Black freedom fighters. So that's... What
yeah.
I have right there.
It has, 1619, August of 1619, when they say some of the first Africans were brought here as indentured servants, and then they commuted them into shackle slavery. Then you had the March on Washington, which they're going to have one at the end of the month, led by Al Sharpton and Martin Luther King's son. You have a number of significant events that went in to August from the standpoint of inventions as well as activism. And so the brothers in the penitentiary were dealing with the attempted escape by George Jackson, nephew, brother, and others. And we had one of the brothers that was on. Remember Rashi Key? Yeah, one of the brothers that was there. And anyway, they had a shootout at the courthouse. And a couple of them got killed. He got shot.
Talking about Rochelle McGee.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a program with the brother that was helping with him. Keep going, Rob.
Yeah. And so the August is very important. A number of groups out here have events and activities. Like Brother Joe was saying, the Watts Festival is one that's held in August. But see, you got to remember this. Most of these groups that you have, from the Black Panthers to the US organization, to SLANT, to the Community Alert Patrol, to CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, to OIC by Reverend Sullivan, Occupational Industrial Center, and then a number of other organizations, they didn't come into being until after the Watts Rebellion. The Watts Rebellion inspired other people to rebel, And then it made a lot of the gang members become political organizations, activist organizations. And that's why you have a unique a dynamic of various reasons why we celebrate Black August or recognize Black August as a historical month for us as an African people, which is a great thing from the standpoint of us being able to really get to know our history and know struggle. See, very few people celebrate struggle. You got people talking about Black television. They ain't mentioning nothing about the rebellions. And there was a number of rebellions when Leonard Deadwyler got shot in 1968. That's how Johnny Cochran got his recognition as far as being on TV and getting the coroner's inquest to say that he was shot unjustly, died by the hands of another. And that spearheaded his recognition. In August, I'm going to read this. In August 1979, the first official Black August took place. The brothers and political family members who participated in the collective founding of Black August wore Black armbands on their left arm and studied revolutionary works, particularly those of Comrade George Jackson. Many participated in the fasting for Ramadan during the month of August. The brothers did not listen to the radio or watch television. Additionally, they didn't eat or drink anything from sunup to sundown, and loud and boastful behavior was not allowed. Support for the prison's canteen was also disavowed. The use of drugs and alcohol beverages was prohibited, and the brothers held daily exercises to sharpen their minds and bodies and spirits in honor of the collective principles of self-sacrifice, inner fortitude, and revolutionary discipline needed to advance the new African struggle for self-determination and freedom. Black August therefore became a commemorative time for us to embrace the principles of communion, unity, sacrifice, and political education, physical training, and determined resistance. A selective few in the community members joined the solidarity. So you have to understand, I mean, you don't have to understand, but it's a very sacred day because these brothers put this together and it has spread all over the country, which is a good thing from the standpoint of us being able to recognize resistance. And that's the key to the struggle of Black August, is celebrating resistance. The Haiti Revolution was done in August. The celebration of the Black movement from the standpoint of 1965, and because there was two movements in the 60s. There was a civil, they were all under the banner of the freedom movement, the Black freedom movement. One was civil rights and one was Black power. And it's Black power that Black people were more self-determined versus civil rights that was mainly an integrationist group and led by a Christian movement. But, you know, we all wanted the same thing, and that's the liberation of our people. So when we look at Black August in California, we look at the Watts Rebellion and we look at this history, And it's lost with many young people because they don't put it in the curriculum and they don't treat it as a significant day or a significant week of rebellion and resistance. And this is why many of our young people don't resist, because they don't commemorate or be educated that we didn't just fold down and let people beat us up and do nothing, or just enslave us and didn't run away and didn't challenge the white power structure, as we say, you know. White people built the white power structure. The white power structure did not build white people. And what do I mean by that? That means that this country was built on a racist perspective. All you have to do is look at the rights that we didn't have until 1860-something. With the Emancipation Proclamation, which really was not it, but the 14th and 15th Amendment. And, you know, we couldn't vote. Some of us was counted as three-fourths of a human being. They could rape our women, our daughters, and they could have breeding farms. And if you got sick, they called a animal doctor, not a medical doctor, you know. These are the things that we have to, you know, find a way to educate in a smooth and dynamic way to our young people. There are plenty of films about our struggles, you know, and introduce them to people like Paul Robeson, you know, an entertainer, athlete, you know, although he has communistic tendencies and relationships. Yeah, they had to learn more about Malcolm, and not just his name, but what he thought, you know, and why he was assassinated. We have to learn about the Black organizations and the Black movement. So we set this month of August around that. That's why we commemorate the Watts Rebellion, because 33 Black people was killed, but the first person that got shot was a white cop in Long Beach. But, you know, they don't bring all that up. And a lot of the burning was done because there was no looters in what they call looters insurance. So white folks paid Black people to burn some of their business. I was in 1965. I got arrested by the National Guard and the sheriff on El Segundo, right across from Waterbrook. I was a teenager. They took me to juvenile hall. I was in 11th grade. And I did 45 days because they would not release youth. If you was an adult, you could bail out. But youth couldn't. And they detained us until the court let us go. And so I did it right there at North Padrinas. I did my 45 days before I got out, and had to do a year probation, tight probation. I had to report every week. I had to adhere to the rules and regulations of the probation officer. And, you know, most of them were white, and they were mad at and angry because we, you know, resisted. And so any little thing you did, they could violate. Getting back to the
Professor Rock.
Yeah.
Sister Linda's here.
Yeah, how you doing, Linda? You there, Linda?
I'm good. Yes, I'm good. I was just listening and learning.
No, Linda, you were a part of the movement in Long Beach in the 70s and things of this nature, working with Wilbekin and the Black Long Beach newspaper.
Correct.
And so there was a lot of good movements in Long Beach. You know, they changed Lemon Park. I forget what they called the park, but they named it Martin Luther King Park. They still named that. They changed the boulevard to Martin Luther King Boulevard. It used to be California. You had a number of ministers And they had a thing called the Long Beach Improvement League.
Right, correct.
Provided jobs and provided Head Start program, preschool program right there. And they did a lot of, they did a lot of things with regards to economic development. And even at that seat, they make you hate or despise or either ignore the significant gains we got through struggle. During the Watts Rebellion, after the Watts Rebellion, they had a program called Manpower Development. Mm-hmm. And Manpower Development was the government would pay 80% of the salary if the company, if companies that had federal contracts would hire young Black people. And that's, that led to a working class. Because they got paid at Douglas and there was one called American something. And just a lot of government companies that dealt with the government had to buy into the Manpower Development Program. Then we had to watch manufacturing right there across the street from Centennial that built parachutes and other Army military stuff. And then we had WLCAC. See what happened? A European flooded the community with money. And ministers and civil rights organizations said we needed jobs. And so they left the struggle. And they had poverty programs in Compton, which Compton was a Brooklyn Enterprise Community Action Agency. And then Watson was Westminster, and mm-hmm. they provided jobs. And OEO, the Office of Economic Opportunity, would fund them based on regencies. I got a picture of me and sister Bob Simmons' wife arguing with the guy from OEO, Office of Economic Opportunity, because they fund you every year. But that's how a lot of Black people got money, and they moved out the community. And, then a lot of Black people that had businesses, they just start selling them, you know, even though their business wasn't even hit or hurt because they had Soul Brother on it and things of this nature. So it was a unique experience from the standpoint you have to live it. See, it's one thing to be battlefield tested, and it's another thing to just be a theorist. A lot of historians, not talking about Joe, of course, but a lot of historians, they just write. But when you're out there boxing with the police and monitoring the police as community alert patrol, and while they were doing that, they started a tactical squad training at the Coliseum. And so while we were celebrating the struggle in Watts and Los Angeles, they were training and preparing to prevent any other. That's why you have helicopters by the police now. They didn't have helicopters until the Watts Rebellion. That's why sometimes you can look on the roofs of houses. They got numbers on them so they know what address they have. All of that thing, and then they used to ride one cop in a car. That's when they start wearing helmets and the shotgun rack in the front of the car. All of that was because of Black people standing up and the Europeans suppressing it. It was a unique struggle. I mean, Tommy Jacquet and a lake school was one of the main players. Bob Simmons, he taught Tookie, one of the gang members. And then you got to remember, many of the gangs, as I said, we converted to political active organizations. There was no Panthers until after the Watts Rebellion. There was no US organization until Watts Rebellion. And then at that time, when you struggle, it creates conditions that other people come in. the Sentinel used to be our main voice for liberation. Now it's a social thing. They have people writing, but they're not giving the editorial. You know, they don't, you know, they're trying to get more contracts, more advertising, more legal contracts with cities and things of this nature. But, you know, I mean, it's just so many things that went back. But anyway, the Watts Festival started on 103rd at Real Rogers Park, as Joe said. The first one, 1966. And they had a concert at Jordan High that featured Hugh Masekela, Motown people, Smokey Robinson, local groups, the Young Hearts. And what happened was they didn't have enough security, so they had to cut it short because people were not coming up to the stage and, you know, just being rude, unruly. But so they cut it out. Then they had Watts Stack, which came in somewhere around the late 60s and going into the 70s at the Coliseum, that they made videos of Watts Stack. Then they had the Watts Summer Festival Parade. A beauty salon. One of the sisters, couple of the sisters from Centennial. One was the queen, the other one was on the court. I was Pat McLemore, who was the queen, and Alma Jackson, who was on the court. There was so many activities. The Watts Summer Games used to be in Watts. They ran it like the Olympics. They used to have basketball, track, all kind of things. Then Europeans brought in a bunch of money and took it over, but it was something that the Black people had started. So the Watts of August in the spirit, now the Watts Rebellion was started when the Highway Patrol tried to give the Fry brother a ticket. It was Fry's. One of them went to Centennial with me. And his mother came out and they got in an argument, the cops shoved her, and that's when all hell broke loose. And that was on about 111th in San Pedro, right near, not 111th, 114th, where all the rebellion started. And some of the slogans in that big rebellion was, burn, baby, burn, but that was, brought out by a DJ who was saying that for years before the Watts Rebellion, when he played some good music, you know. And he'd say, I mean, you know, I couldn't sleep at all last night. And he'd say, burn, baby, burn. And the music would be fast. And then when the rebellion started, people started saying, burn, baby, burn. That's the Watts Stack. Isaac Hayes, Jesse Jackson, Staples Singer, Rufus Thomas. There's a whole band, a majority of groups. I got the CD. So then, after the, the rebellion, I mean, just so many beautiful things. We started a Black cultural movement. That's when people were introduced to the Watts Tower, even though it was built by an Italian or something, that became a centerpiece. I mean, just a beautiful thing. Black people call it wearing natural, wearing African attire, calling each other brother and sister. Then COINTELPRO came in, counterintelligence program. And the music changed from a message to a Black man. We got a message in our music, Black Pearl, you know, all kind of Black music. James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. It was just all groups and everybody was singing. See, when you struggle, entertainers And Joe always talk about the spy that's set by the spook that's set by the door. All these films came out, and then black films came out, and they told black people it was black exploitation. I mean, you know, Pam Grier, Shaft, Superfly, that's black exploitation because the cast was all black and the producers were all black. Gordon Parks and things of this nature. Next thing you know, black people was criticizing it like it was the Anderson Ninja show. But they were just acting out some of the street life. And it's the same thing what you see with the rappers today. You know, they say they're talking about what it's like. But also you have to think about what you want it to be. And so anyway, we were on the move. Black gangs, as I said, turned into political active organizations. I was in the Baby Orientals, and the Orientals was led by Willie Sampson. And the Baby Orientals was led by Tyrone Sampson and Willie Bice. And I lived on Watts Avenue at that time. And, you know, we was real young, but at the same time, we were serious, you know, why most of our gangs in the 60s before the Watts Rebellion were the Huns, the Baby Romans, the Roman Ten, except for the Slaussons, they called themselves the Slaussons and the Farmers. But most of the gangs named themselves after Asian images because they thought that they represented a rebellious thing like Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan, and all that.
You want to play this clip right here of the Watts?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Saturday night, though, was they always call it nigger night because white folks go out about 8 and leave and go home at 10 and leave it to the niggers because it gets thick.
Can't nobody give a sister the blues like a man. That's the blues. That's the showing up blues.
I'll play the blues for you.
Have you ever in your life had to jump out of a window behind a woman?
Yeah.
Have you ever in your life been caught in the bed with a woman?
Yes, I have.
Is that where you got this from?
If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I can go anywhere in the United States of America and see another black man and give him a power shake, and there's unity there.
I say, hey man, I prefer an older broad to a younger broad any day because, like, the understanding is here and not so much here. Well, see, a lot of people think with the mouth, not the head, you know, like your mama.
If black is beautiful, white is divine.
Now that nigga's crazy.
What you see, what you see, is what you get, is what you get.
The brothers all of us have been waiting for, I think. Hey!
thanks, Roger King. That was a beautiful day, but, you know, that's when it stacked records. That's why they call it Watch That or Sponsor That. It was just a beautiful day, Black people there. And they didn't have no major problem, you know, except for when the people jumped off the fence, when Rupert Thomas told them to come to the stage. And then the people jumped down the field and wouldn't go back to their seats. And Halak and Halifa told the Crips, we didn't say Crips at that time, the gang members, come help us get the people off the floor. And it's just a beautiful thing. In the first Watts Festival, the booths were free. People were from, I would say, Compton Avenue all the way down to Central. And they had booths. And we policed ourselves. And we all had purple jackets. And there was no problem. And then the next year, in the 68, when the police and gang members began to revitalize themselves under the banner of COINTELPRO.
All right, folks, we're going to conclude here. On Wednesday, we have Brother Dr. Charles Alexander coming on. And the title is Let Me Show Everybody. Okay, the title is Not What's Wrong, But What Happened. It's Stress and Trauma. So that's going to be interesting. That's on Wednesday. Next week for Conscious Corner, we will find out from Professor Ra. We're going to have, and it'll be on the website. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner. We're going to take our pause. Have a good evening.